Hello and welcome to Once a Warrior. My name is Monty Betham and my guest is Bodine Thompson. Played 58 times for the club, Warrior number 194. Boat, how are you, my man?
Good, Monts. Nice to see you, bro.
So what are you doing? You're freshly retired, but what's keeping you busy?
Yeah, so I retired halfway through last year. Came back here. We've got 5 kids now. Had to come back, man, family, over everything. And back on the Gold Coast now. I'm a health and safety advisor for a company called Hutchison Builders and working also as an NRL ambassador, doing community work for mental health programs, doing stuff with the community for our younger generation and doing a little bit of coaching under 17s, Maldives, and helping out my my local club, Parkwood Sharks, as well.
All right, boys, let's look at your time in that jumper, man.
On to Thompson. Thompson will score. Bodine Thompson goes over. Now there's only 20 seconds. Thompson's gone over. Don't worry about Golden Point. What about a golden try? Thompson cuts back. Oh, it gets rid of the tackle. Bodine Thompson. Bodine, 100 games, one try tonight. Good ball, Thompson. It's Bodine Thompson. That has come from nowhere. Thompson, that was pretty. Bodine Thompson! Bodine! And that should be the winner for the Warriors.
Boats, not a bad highlight reel. What memories come to mind when you see all those tries you're scoring and setting up?
All the people around me. I'm just running in the right hole. Doing my job. They're all doing their job around me. Obviously, Sean used to create some spectacular space, and I just used to take a read off him. So Warriors has always had a soft spot in my heart. When I was at my first two clubs, the Gold Coast and West Tigers, I kind of felt like I was a little bit lost. So when I went to the Warriors, I definitely found home. The Warriors, I played my best footy there. You can't deny that. The 3 years I was there, I played my best footy.
90 games of NRL experience before you came to the Warriors. But who was it? How did you get that moment that you were asked? And what do you remember?
It was my last year at West Tigers. I was coming off a contract, but I went into the Kiwis camp. There was a few coaches that had links to the Warriors. One day a manager said, "Oh, the Warriors want to have a talk to you." And I said, "Sweet." 6 months before that, I used to have dreams about my dad a lot. Yeah. And my dad, if people don't know, my dad lives back in New Zealand. So I used to have dreams and not good things happening to him. And I used to always think, "Father, what is this? What is this?" And it was like a calling for me to go home. Because when I did go home, he came and lived with me for the 3 years that I was there. So, and I stopped having those dreams. Funny enough, it was funny. I went there, seen Cappy, done the tour. We done everything, had the big talk. And then he said, "Okay," this is what he said to me, his exact words, "What is it going to take to get Bodine Thompson to the Warriors?" And I just replied to him straight away. I knew the figure that I wanted. And he just said, sat back in his chair and he said, "Wow, I've never had anyone say that to me." I just knew what I wanted and what I wanted to go there, what price I wanted to go there for. And and then my manager rang me up and said, "What did you say to Cappy?" I said, I just told him what I wanted. And he just laughed. He said, "You just told him that?" I said, "Yeah, I just told him." I said, "What did he say?" He said, "Yeah," he said, "you can have that." I said, "Oh, sweet. No, enough said."
Now, Bud, you're talking about these dreams of your dad. They weren't so good. And you think it was like a calling going home. But, you know, when you're a guy who was born and raised in New Zealand, you went overseas to Australia. Is there some type of pull that gets you home, especially when you start playing the game overseas and maybe not just for you, other players like yourself?
I'm just going to be honest, bro. I can imagine that there would be for other kids and that kind of thing. But to be honest, once I had a really bad upbringing, and I had a bad outlook on New Zealand. I never wanted to go back to New Zealand, but it took me years to realize that it wasn't New Zealand. It was just the situation that I grew up in, and where I was, and the people that were around me and whatnot. And when I came back to the Warriors, got in there. Started like realizing that, it wasn't actually New Zealand, because New Zealand was beautiful. I after training, I'd straight over to Waiheke Island, be diving, spearing fish, and be cooking a fresh fish at 8 o'clock at night after training some nights. And the lifestyle was unbelievable. Lapping it up, weekends off, I'd drive straight down to Coromandel or wherever. And it was just so beautiful, the place, the family, the feeds. Also, should mention the club, outstanding as well. They've done everything for your family. I love that about the club, and I'm guessing, I'm putting money on it, that they still do that.
The guy in charge then was Cappy, Andrew McFadden. Now, you've said, during that time was some of the best football you've played. How much of that comes down to Andrew McFadden?
He had a big part to play in that. When we started training with him, I didn't know how to take him at the start. I was thinking, oh man, is this guy, is he angry all the time or whatnot? But as he got to know Cappy, he realised, oh man, he's actually very cool. But you just didn't know at the start, you never know if coaches are trying to put up fronts at the start or whatnot. But yeah, Cappy was an awesome bloke. He called a spade, and you know what? When I look back on it now, some people don't react well to that kind of coaching or man managing. He demanded standards, and if you didn't meet those standards, he'd say why. When he asked me those questions, I used to eat me away when I have to accept it and take accountability when accountability needed to be taken. It hurt, but it was the best thing for me because it only made me better. And then you want to drive that extra bit harder and nail it the next week and the next month and for the year. So that's why I say that Cappy had a lot to do with my success at the Warriors.
Assistant coach there, Andrew Webster. Did you know early on when you were in and around him that this man was going to be special, that later on he was going to, be the tip of the spear for this club?
No, I definitely didn't. he'll have a laugh when he's watching this too, because he was assisting at the West Tigers, and we had some really really funny conversations and catch ups, and he's a people guy. He's someone that you want to talk to and have a laugh with and get to know, and just a good bloke, a really good man. Yeah, did not think that he'd be at the tip of the spear, but man. He's doing an amazing job. The coach would say, we'll explain this drill, or he's going to do something. And he'd just jump up, like, boom, ball of energy. We're going to do this, boys. He just had so much vibe about it. And he used to sell the training session that we were doing. We would have been doing fitness and everything in there, but we're like, far out. It sounds awesome. It sounds fun, because the way he was explaining things was so... so energetic, and he was always real upbeat, having a laugh, and then he might do something funny at the end and have a laugh or whatever. But yeah, he was just he was a really good fella.
Okay, your debut. When were you told? What do you remember from that moment and that week building up into your game? It was against the Knights.
There was a few of us that were debuting, and it was special because all my family came in, and I don't know. Never happened before. And I don't get emotional. I've never cried. And my dad walked in, my auntie walked in, and I just remember just breaking down. I just,
wow.
Making a family, your own family, your blood family, part of your football family. When special occasions arise, my kids, my mum, dad, all my family are definitely people that you just want to make proud. And when they walked in, it was crazy. So the club were really family orientated, which is that had never happened before. So I was experiencing that from the club. All the boys were so close and tight knitted. I had never really experienced the tightness that the group had formed. And we played against the Knights. I think I got dumped on my head too. I made a line break, and Sione Mataute was playing fullback. He was like 20. And he picked me up and dumped me on my head. So that was a fun memory.
That first year in the Warriors colours, any other games that you remember or moments in that jumper?
We always had good games against Cronulla, man. I just remember those games were always hard. We're always fighting to the death. And just the grind, I just love the grind. It's in the balance. And I remember when Sean won one, obviously, when Ryan Hoffman got that charge down. But those are the best games, those ones when it's hard. You have to fight for everything, every little inch of grass you have to fight for. So I love those games.
Any particular player from the Sharks that you love to go head-to-head with?
Oh, Paul Gallen. he was always stuck out in those games. And the grittier, the tougher, the harder opponent, whatever, I used to just love it. If I get smoked or someone just ran through me, bang, or whatever, just loved it. He played 70 minutes straight and he'd just be looking at you and you're like, oh, yeah, just keep going at him, keep going at him, keep going at him. And the same thing, other people would do that to me. Sometimes you make 50, 60 tackles in the back row and you just, you knew that people would just keep coming and coming and coming. Paul was definitely one of those guys.
What about scoring match-winning tries in extra time, golden point, against a really good Parramatta Eels side?
Yeah, I was just taking one settler back to the middle for Sean to kick the drop goal and, just happened to beat a couple of people and rumble my way over the line, just roll over the line. So people weren't sure if I got it or not, but I knew that I got it on the line. So, it was good. I'm just happy for the team because we played so well. It was a hard game, man.
What about the players and their ability? You've played against them for so many years. Who were you looking forward to joining forces with? And when you actually played and trained with them, who surprised you in terms of their skills?
Simon Mannering was just unbelievable. I love looking over to my left shoulder and he was defending it by 5 men right next to me. I just looked over, man. I knew, no one's coming for here. He wouldn't say much, but, man, he spoke with his actions. And I love being next to that fella. Sean, he was always one that I'd look at and think, he was an unbelievable player. And funny enough, when I played for the Gold Coast, I went down the short side and it was a 2-on-1 and Shawnee was that one person defending and I done a no-look pass to the winger and Shawnee just went plump, plucked it out of the air and ran the length of the field and scored in the corner. And we had a little laugh about that.
The relationship you had with SJ on that right, he would go to you, you would go to him. Was it planned? Was it instinct? Talk to me about that combination because it was deadly, man.
Yeah, we had fun times, me and Shawnee. Sometimes, man, he would just say to me, Bo, take a read. And that just meant whatever he does, just react off it. And I loved it, eh? I really loved it because it just meant that we just played whatever we seen.
How much work was done at training and did you click straight away or did it take some time?
At the start, I had to really, figure out him, first of all, understanding his speed, being able to keep up with him when he took off. People don't understand, Sean, when he moves laterally, he can move laterally, man. He goes sideways fast or takes off unders fast. So I had to adapt my game because I wasn't used to someone of his ability being able to move laterally or, going unders so hard or so fast. Just a natural mover. Sean, everyone sees he glides when he moves and he can beat someone sideways as well as he can with speed. So I definitely had to adapt it, and it took reps on reps on reps on reps. We've done countless, countless, countless hours of training to get it, and me understanding as well and adapting. I do this, stay wide, stay wide. I used to sit like a center. So I'd stand way outside wide, and I'd let him do his thing, and he'd either skip to me or go unders or whatever, but that's just to give him room, let him do his thing, and then take a read off him.
Talking about adapting, I mean, Sean Johnson no longer has that crazy speed he had once upon a time, but yet he's one of the best sevens in the game. What have you made of the new way he plays and how he's reinvented himself?
Oh, I love it. When he's going to the line, I notice the hooker does it as well, Wade Egan. When he goes to the line, they're always stepping away and making sure they're stopping defenders. So whenever Sean's going to the line, his last step is always going back towards the ruck. So he stops defenders. And then there's deception around his hands. There's so many times I was running a short ball off him, flying onto the ball, and I was certain that it was going to come to me. And I'd reach for some and knock a couple on a few times, I think, as well. But I was certain that he was going to pass it to me, but he was actually going out the back to Roger. So that was that's what I've noticed this year. The way he's squaring up people and his deception with his hand skills and where he's going with the ball.
Cappy's years, 15, 16, you were really close to making the playoffs. Your reasons to why you couldn't quite get there?
Shawnee broke his leg against Manly. I remember that. It happened right in front of me. And yeah, he was playing outstanding too, like crazy good football. It was our first year. We had heaps of debutants, fresh, the ambitious, massive preseason. Everything was going so good. And then, yeah, obviously missing Shawnee was a big part of that year.
Was it nice to play with someone like Blake Ashford, who you played with at the Tigers? You already had an understanding. And did that understanding change or the way you plotted the downfall of the opposition together?
Yeah, it was good, especially defensively. Ash was a great defender. No one hardly ever got past him. So, you know, he was solid in D. And in an attack, it was surprising. He'd do some freaky things, man, and he had a really good offload. We always used to run, off him or inside him whenever he had a run.
The other half that would sometimes pop up on your side, Tommy Luluai. What's it like playing with Tommy on your side, man?
Oh, awesome. Tommy's an awesome guy and funny guy to start with. But yeah, the thing I loved about Tommy, same as Kieran Foran, they would go so hard and so deep into the line that they would just commit so much defenders and get smashed a few times as well. Tommy would pretty much take out two defenders, he'd go that far into the line. Just a tough player too. He'd never let you down. Real, real honest bloke, Tommy was. And a funny fella off the field.
Yeah. But when you think about 2017, the Kiwi spine come together, mate, and what a spine. Kieran Foran came, you had SJ there, RTS, and also Isaac Luke. Was it injuries? What happened? Because I thought it was game over then.
There was a few things. Kieran Foran, he had a lot of big injuries, I think, the year before, and he was trying to get his body right. Yeah, we just knew what we were getting, class, skill, and Roger just has a different work ethic and dog in him. He's just relentless at training standards, and what he'd done. So I don't know if we just clicked as well as we probably should have and got on the same page that year, but we played all right. We should have played a lot better considering what spine we had.
Stephen Cooney Mooks at the helm. What was his strong points and how did you enjoy that? And what was that transition like?
I was in the Kiwis with him in 2014. His style was more just kind of play what you feel. He was more, wanting you to do your own thing, giving you free rein. So, yeah, it was different to adapt to it, but it was awesome. Like, at the same time, I never wanted to be just playing this is how you play and that's how you play. That I think limits teams and limits people's skills. So, Mooks had definitely strong traits in that.
Okay, Boach, there's only five players that have played 200-plus games for the club. Simon Mannering, the GOAT, Manu, SJ and Benny, and, of course, Stacey Jones. But you played with four of those. Talk to me about Benny Mataleno, what made him special.
Benny was quiet, very, very, very quiet. But, man, Benny, he had a willingness to carry the ball. He just wanted to make yards, man. Like, he was Mr. Consistent in yards and he just wanted that ball and he'd give you a 12-meter run every run. And yeah, he'd just work hard for you. I'd be sprinting past him to do a kick chase. I'd say, Benny, move, Benny. And he'd just look at me and put his head down and start running. Really, really nice guy. And he'd do anything for you on the field, but more so off the field. He is a good bloke.
Manu Vatuvei?
Big fella would just do anything for you. He was like Benny too. He was like a prop coming out of the backfield. I always say Manu made a living out of running at props because he had the first or second carry out of backfield every time. He never took a sideways step. He never ran at centres or halfback. He just ran at the props the whole time. He'd have 22 carries a game every week for 22 weeks.
But you said three of the best years in terms of your form in your career. It was a long career. So why did you end up leaving?
Oh, yeah, it was one of those things, man. Like, I got an offer earlier on in the year to stay. And we had some personal stuff going on back in Australia. Mm. I said to Mooks, I'm just going to wait out to the end of the year and see, because I don't know what's going on. I got some personal stuff. Yeah, things kind of, they weren't going too well. And I was like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind staying now. And then asked about that offer, and that offer wasn't on the table. It was there was a different offer on the table, but it wasn't the one of previous. So, which was awkward. There was no malice, no heartfelt feelings or anything. I said, "Cool, it's all good." And I just said, "I'm cool." And then I went my ways. But I would have loved to stay. I would love to stay. Sorry.
When you think about the class of last year, 2023, and even this year, when you played alongside Chance, RTS, Bunty, Jazz, Ishjay, how proud are you watching them? And who has surprised you more than the other in terms of how well they've been playing?
Chance would be the big one for me. I think he played a couple of games on the wing. He was trying to, you know, obviously finding his way, playing outstanding for the New South Wales Cup every week. First thing that comes to mind, work ethic. Like, he was spewing up every session. He just never left anything in the tank. He put it all out there, man, every session. He wasn't even in the team, but he would train so hard. When I left and went over to England, and me and him had some messages exchanged about potentially coming over, that's a crossroads in some people's career. And he just obviously dug his feet in. I don't know what kind of shot they gave him at Canberra, but yeah, just went on leaps and bounds. So he went from almost signing a contract and coming over to England with the second division team to where he is now. So when I look from afar and watch where he's gone, I'm so happy for him. So I'm really proud of him and how far he's come.
Have you seen anything like the movement of late, up the wires and what the Warriors have been doing? Crazy from afar?
Crazy from afar, but extremely proud. I always support the Warriors, and I love that team so much. And still now, I always watch it. My little brother, like all my family, heightened their love for the Warriors when I went there. So definitely love what's going on the last few years. How it's looking like it's going the last couple of years, that's definitely the way forward for the Warriors. I've never seen a better structured team, a fitter team, the skill set, both in the forwards and in the backs. Like, it's crazy how good all across the board the team is. Like, yeah, there's strike everywhere, and that's what I think maybe was missing. Every time I see it getting sold out, it's so good for the game. There's so much potential in New Zealand and with league and what the Warriors are doing. It's just crazy and good to see.
How does that 3 years down under in New Zealand, your home country, stack up against your other experiences around the world?
I don't think you can put it into words, really. You know, I was playing for all these other teams, but my family's all Kiwi, so we're all from New Zealand. All your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, everyone, like, I've got a big family. And, you know, seeing them so proud, and also showing our younger generation, especially the ones that are struggling, that there is something else other than doing the wrong thing. There's light in other aspects in life, and if you work hard, you can do good things in sport. Whenever I was back there, I was always thinking that I'm showing my younger cousins, nieces, nephews, all these kind of people that you know, there's light, and if you choose to go the other way.
But then once a warrior, always a warrior, bro. You're an absolute force on that right side, man. Thank you for your service, brother.
All good. Thank you, Monts.
I'm Monty Beetham. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you next week for another episode of Once a Warrior.
On to Thompson. Thompson will score. Bodie Thompson goes over. Now there's only 20 seconds. Thompson. Thompson's gone over. Don't worry about Golden Point. What about a golden try? Thompson cuts back. Oh, it gets rid of the tackle. Bodie Thompson. One try tonight. Good ball, Thompson. It's Bodie Thompson. That has come from nowhere. Thompson, that was pretty. Bodie Thompson. Bodie. And that should be the winner.